Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by guest speaker Dave Bruner.
Especially, I miss preaching. I miss sharing the good news with people. So it's a treat to be up here today, and it's a special treat to be preaching here in our church home. You've been so good to us, to our family, these last 5 years. It's meant a great deal to us. It's just an honor and a privilege. So I thank you for allowing me to be up here today. Before we turn to scripture this morning, I'd invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Holy God, as we turn to your word this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present in and among us. We pray that you will give us ears to hear your word, hearts to obey your word, hands to live out your word, and tongues to share it with those near and far. Be present this morning, Holy Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture from today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. And it tells us this. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked them. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Word of the Lord. So when I was a kid, my mom made me write thank you notes. And I hated it. My mom was not a strict disciplinarian. She was not a real stickler about most things. But on this, she was very insistent. So Christmas would come around, or my birthday would come around, and a day or two would pass, and I would still be in the midst of the bliss of playing with an ocean's worth of new toys. And my mom would grab me and not so gently drag me upstairs to our study and plop me down in front of our ancient computer and sit me there until I'd written thank you notes to everyone that had given me a gift. I hated it. I can't emphasize that enough to you. I remember very distinctly writing a note to my grandmother, and I don't remember exactly what she gave me, but I remember what I said. I remember I said something like this: "Dear grandmother, this is your grandson David. Thank you so much for the wonderful gift." I want you to know that my mom is making me write thank you notes. And I am so bored. And I'm pretty sure that when I was writing it on a computer, that I leaned on the letter O in the course of so and bored. So both of those words had like a dozen extra O's in them. So imagine what it's like to be my grandmother and get this thank you note from your grandson. You would say, "Well, A for effort, you know, good job. I'm not sure you quite grasp the nature of the thank you note genre yet, Dave, but I appreciate that you're doing it. The point is, saying thank you, expressing gratitude, didn't come naturally to me. And I actually think that's a relatively common feature of the human experience. Expressing gratitude appropriately doesn't come naturally to many of us. And I think that's one of the lessons that's at the heart of today's gospel. At least that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about gratitude. And so this morning, I want to share 3 points with you. Now, the reason I want to share 3 points with you, there are 2 reasons, actually. The first is that my wife has convinced me that all good sermons have 3 points. So I'm just a chip off the old block. In that respect, I guess if any member of the Bruner family is preaching, you can count on 3 points. The other reason I want to offer you 3 points today is that it gives people hope. I'm an academic, and some of my academic colleagues, when they get up to lecture, they decide that they're just going to talk until they begin to see people passing out from boredom or whatever. And I want you to know that that's not my intention today. So if you have 3 points, you'll kind of be able to track where we are in this sermon. So we got 3 points. I want to talk about where Christian gratitude comes from. I want to talk about obstacles to Christian gratitude. And I want to talk about ways to cultivate Christian gratitude. So where gratitude comes from, obstacles to gratitude, and how to cultivate it in our lives. So first point, where Christian gratitude comes from. In today's gospel story, we read about Jesus healing 10 lepers. And if you know anything about lepers in Jesus' day and age, you know that being healed from leprosy was really something to be very thankful for. Leprosy was the name they gave to a whole bunch of different diseases that affected your skin and appearance, and if you had it, it meant not only that you'd been diagnosed with some very painful kind of physical ailment, but it meant really remarkable social and spiritual isolation. Lepers were considered ritually unclean, which, as many of you may be aware, was a big deal in Jesus' day and age. The book of Leviticus actually tells us that a person who'd been diagnosed with leprosy was required to call out, unclean, unclean, when they saw someone else approaching, as a way of warning them, hey, we're kind of contaminated, you might want to keep your distance. If you notice in today's gospel reading, it doesn't say that the lepers approached Jesus and asked him close up. They cried out and asked for healing from a distance. Right? It was an isolated, lonely, painful, and Jesus responds by curing them. He tells the lepers to go and show themselves to the priests, and as they're traveling, they find that they're already well. The wonder-working power of Jesus reaches out and cures them. And the story could end there, right? There are a number of stories in the New Testament Gospels that tell us about Jesus healing a leper or someone else who's ill, and that's pretty much the end of the story. This story, however, takes an interesting twist. One of the lepers, out of the 10, upon realizing that he's been healed, turns around and comes back to Jesus. And he praises God. He throws himself at Jesus' feet, and he gives thanks. And as it happens, he's a Samaritan. He's part of an ethnic and religious group that Jews of Jesus' day disliked intensely, and with which they did not associate. And he's the one who comes back to give thanks, as is the case so often in Jesus' ministry. It is only the non-Jewish person, the person who is perceived as being part of the wrong ethnic group, having the wrong religious affiliation, who fully grasps what's going on and responds appropriately. That's why the parable concludes with Jesus' rhetorical question, where he says, hey, where are the other 9 guys? I guess nobody thought to come and say thank you except for this foreigner, this non-Jew. The parable, or the story, in other words, has a tacit judgment in it. Luke is pretty clear that those other 9 people ought to have returned and given thanks to God as well. They should have come back to say thank you. Now, maybe this will seem strange, but I think that every Christian is in exactly the same position as those lepers. Every Christian is in exactly the same position as those lepers. Hopefully none of you have been diagnosed with leprosy, but all of us have received gifts just like them. And I bet if we stop and think about it, many of you could name the gifts you've received from God. God's given some of you the gift of his love when the chips were down. When you were sick or brokenhearted or alone, someone called. Someone shared a comforting word. Someone visited. Someone helped. God's given some of you the gift of belonging to a small group, a place where you can know and be known and let down your guard. God's given some of you the gift of belonging to a community of faith where you can see your children grow up in grace and be discipled by people and pass the faith on to them. God's given some of you the gift of a fresh start, of taking your sins and your mistakes and your faults and laying them at the foot of the cross and hearing God's word of forgiveness and comfort. God's given some of you faith in eternal life. The ability to look at death and trust that it does not get the last word on Jesus Christ and his love. Friends, we have been given gifts. And just like those 10 lepers, we have received something life-changing, awe-inspiring. And we ought to be willing to come back to Jesus and give thanks. And just like those lepers, I think many of us find that it's difficult to do. So that's the second thing I want to talk about today. I want to talk about obstacles to Christian gratitude. What stops us from being grateful? What gets in the way of our expressing gratitude to God the way we should and experiencing that thankfulness in our hearts? Of course, there's a lot of things, right? You know some of them as well as I do. We're busy. We're distracted by the demands of daily life, right? Sometimes I try and pray, and I'm in the middle of saying something really cool to God, and, you know, one of my kids will make a mess, or there's a spilled glass of milk, or something's going on, and that's the end of it, right? Sometimes we face painful situations that can make it particularly hard to give thanks. But I also have to say that I think, at least for me, part of the reason why we don't give thanks to God is just sin. It's just resistance to recognizing how much God has already given us and living the kind of life that acknowledges that. Let me tell you a story. I'm not a very mystical person, but there have been a handful of occasions in my life where I believe I've heard God speaking to me. And I remember all of them, but I especially remember one occasion that took place about 10 years ago. Beck and I had just gotten married. We were living in an apartment in St. Paul, Minnesota. It was about 50 square feet, so it was really good that we liked each other, because if not, we would have had problems. And I was having a hard time that year. There were all kinds of things that I was just discontent about. I was frustrated about this and that and the other thing, and I remember one day I took some time to pray and to talk to the Lord about it. And I was just kind of venting. I was just saying, you know, God, I'm really upset about this, and this other thing hasn't worked out the way it should have, and I thought that was going to happen, but it didn't, and what's going on, God? That went on for maybe half an hour. And in the midst of that, I remember something quite striking. I heard a voice in my head, as clear as day. And all it said was, you know, Dave, you don't say thank you very often. And I believe that was God speaking to me. It was very gentle, it was very loving, it was very clear and very convicting about my lack of gratitude in that situation and the blessings that were right under my nose. Gratitude can seem trivial sometimes, but if we want to understand why it's so important for our lives, it helps to reflect on the opposite. Have you ever met an ungrateful person? Sometimes I'll spend hours helping a student understand the finer points of an essay or craft a thesis statement that will help them write a good paper. And every once in a while, one of them will not only not say thank you, but they'll blow it off in a really conspicuous way. How do you think it makes God feel when we take his gifts and respond? Have any of you ever met an entitled person? I have. Someone does them a good turn, and instead of being grateful, they react like it was theirs by right. They deserved it all along. And when they don't get what they think what they deserve, watch out. I remember when I was a junior in college, there was this guy in one of my college classes who did not like the grade that he got on his midterm. And after class, there was an exchange with the instructor and an argument, and eventually the student stormed out of the class. And right before he left, he looked over his shoulder and he said, "Some of us are trying to make Phi Beta Kappa," right? Now, I'm sure as a grown-up, he's embarrassed by that, right? We all make mistakes. Man, what a sense of entitlement. Instead of being thankful for the good education he was receiving, for the opportunity to go to college that eludes so many people, he was fixated on the fact that he got a B on his exam instead of an A. How do you think it makes God feel when he gives us a precious gift and we respond with entitlement? Have you ever met a resentful person? I have. Resentment is particularly dangerous because it is ingratitude turned outward, projected towards someone else. And I have to tell you, I see this a lot, too, in my chosen field of academia. Why did that person's paper get published in that journal and not me? Why did that person get tenure at that institution and not me? It's all over the place. And of course, the gifts God has given us, the gifts of working with ideas, of teaching, of doing what we love, tend to go by the wayside and be ignored. How do you think God feels when we take the gifts he's given us and respond with resentment instead? And there's something else, too. Expressing gratitude to God isn't just about responding appropriately to what he's done for us. It's also about the kind of character we want to have as Christians. You know, the older I get, the more I realize that it's a fundamental choice whether I'm going to look at my life and respond with resentment or frustration when things don't go the way I want, or whether I'm going to focus on the things that I do have and give thanks for those. My mom made me write those thank you notes, in part because she wanted to raise a polite son, but in part because she wanted to raise a thankful son. And she knew that the act of expressing gratitude would shape my character. There's an old saying in the church that says, it's easier to act yourself into a new way of thinking than it is to think yourself into a new way of acting. You ever heard that before? Easier to act yourself into a new way of thinking than to think yourself into a new way of acting. And what I've found is that if we want to be grateful people, if we want to feel grateful, the best way to start is by expressing gratitude in word and deed, whether we feel like it or not. Quite often, our hearts and our minds catch up with the way that we behave. Christians are people who know that God has given them gifts. And they are people who are determined in the face of all life's distractions and obstacles to be genuinely grateful, to be the one left rather than the nine. So how do we do that? That's the third thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about ways of cultivating Christian gratitude. I wish I could tell you I had all the answers, and I lived a perfectly grateful life myself. I don't, but here are some ways I've found that help me be a more grateful person over time. The three points are this: be authentic, participate in worship, and participate in mission. I'm just going to talk about those real briefly by way of conclusion. The first thing is to just be authentic. I grew up in a church that placed an incredibly strong emphasis on Christian gratitude. The attitude at this church was that if you were a Christian, that bad things really shouldn't happen to you. And if they did, you shouldn't let them get you down, right? something bad happens and you just kind of let it roll off of you like water off a duck's back. And there's this incredible emphasis on always being thankful, always being happy, always being cheerful, always being in a good mood. As you can imagine, it's pretty ironic. I grew up and I discovered that that attitude actually made it impossible to be genuinely grateful to God. Living a grateful life doesn't mean somehow trying to adopt an emotional posture where you always feel grateful, no matter what else is going on in your life. I think that's a faith attitude. If we're going to pursue a grateful life before God, it means we have to pursue authentic gratitude, which means gratitude that acknowledges the challenges and hardships of life while still recognizing all the things we have to be thankful for. So fake gratitude is a way of saying, I have Jesus, everything is hunky-dory. I have no complaints at all. Authentic gratitude says, yeah, things aren't perfect. Lots of things aren't going the way I would like. But I'm still so grateful to God for these things. And let me tell you, from personal experience, it makes a big difference which sort of gratitude you adopt. Fake gratitude will drive you crazy in the long run. And to people both inside and outside the church, it tends to seem like a little bit of a sham. But authentic gratitude will heal you. And to people inside and outside the church, it's attractive when they recognize it. So that's the first thing, be authentic. Second thing I want to say is participate in worship. Congratulations, you're all already doing this one. But I want to talk about it anyway. Coming to worship, participating in worship, taking part in worship is a way that we express gratitude to God. It's an essential expression of Christian gratitude, actually. The famous reformer Martin Luther once commented on this passage in the Gospel. He said, the whole of Christian worship is nothing else than one leper returning to God to give thanks. That's what Christian worship is. It is not at all an accident that in our passage for today, when the Samaritan man is healed of leprosy, he responds to Jesus with words that have subsequently become part of our vocabulary for worship. Verse 15 says he praised God. That's the Greek word doxo, which means doxology, which is the word from which we get the word doxology, right? We sing it every Sunday. Verse 16 says that the Samaritan thanks God. That's the Greek word eucharisto, or Eucharist, Holy Communion. Right? When we celebrate Holy Communion, what are we doing but giving thanks to Jesus for his love? When we are grateful to God, it naturally leads us to worship him. And maybe that's something that sounds pretty obvious, but I find it easy to overlook in practice. Every once in a while, I meet a person who comes to church and they'll complain, you know, I don't get much out of worship. And I have to say, I understand that. I'm sympathetic to that. When I was a pastor, there were a lot of different worship services that I attended, and some of them were pretty boring. I didn't always get a lot out of worship as a pastor. And I, as a parent now, I know the challenges of getting to church and dealing with that. But I also have to say, I think focusing on what we get out of worship isn't the whole picture. Worship isn't about just what we get out of it. It's about what we give to it. It is a precious opportunity to thank God for what we have. Instead of fretting about what we might get or worrying about what we don't have. So the next time you're in church and you feel your mind start to wander or you're worrying about something in your life, find something to be grateful for and offer that up to God. That's the second thing. The last thing I want to talk about is participating in mission. A way we express our gratitude to God is by engaging in Christian mission, sharing the gospel. This might seem a little surprising. There are a lot of misconceptions around mission that are really important for us to clear up. Mission isn't something that only certain religious professionals are called to do. all Christians are called to engage in mission. And mission isn't something that we only do when we go to another part of the world, like Belize. Traveling abroad to serve people is certainly an excellent example of Christian mission. But you don't have to leave your own zip code to engage in mission. And all that means that mission is, I think, both more common and more simple than we often think it is. All mission is finding a way of passing on joy and gratitude to others, communicating through words and deeds our gratitude to God. Mission is a particularly indispensable way of expressing gratitude to God because it takes us outside the walls of the church. In this respect, I think the church has a lot to learn from the example of Jesus in the New Testament. If you read the New Testament, Jesus wasn't just hanging out inside the synagogue. He was always on the move, traveling from one place to another, meeting new people, and he was always engaged with people who weren't yet part of God's covenant community, people who were seen as being far from God, people who were on the outside. As Christians doing mission, we could pick a way worse template than the ministry. The thing I love about mission and why it's such a crucial expression of Christian gratitude is that it asks us to make our thankfulness tangible. It invites us to act in a tangible way, to express how thankful we are to God. It invites us to step out of the four walls of the church, if we're honest, often out of our comfort zone, to express thankfulness to God. It asks me, are you grateful enough to talk honestly with a friend about the Christian faith? Are you grateful enough to tutor a child in Chester or travel all the way to Belize? Are you grateful enough to support Syrian refugees, people who all too often today are taken to belong to the wrong religion, the wrong ethnic group? Will you help them have a safe place to live, clean food and water to eat? These questions are challenging. They're challenging for me. But precisely for that reason, we can't do without them. They're an indispensable part of learning to live a more grateful. Friends, the Lord God has given us so much. Let's express our gratitude together. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us. The gifts of friends and family. The gifts of work and home. The gifts of this beautiful creation. In this church community. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness and the promise of eternal life that you won for us on the cross. We ask you to forgive us for the ways and the times that we are ungrateful. Renew our spirits and help us, like the Samaritan, to express our gratitude in word and deed. It is in your name that we ask for